True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we're hanging out in Chattanooga, guys. East Ridge, take that first exit right here in Chattanooga, and then come on through to Twin Peaks is where we are. Vols and Dogs. Tomorrow, it's a huge game. We're going to talk more about it coming up in less than 15 minutes. Mike will also break down all the other college football games, but we've been saying all day, man, it's great to see people making their way up, stopping in and hanging out with us.
Yeah, man, a ton of folks. We got a lot of listeners in Dalton and up in this neck of the woods who make the trip up, and we tell them, said, you know what, spend another 45 minutes and come down to Kennesaw next time we're at Twin Peaks.
That's right.
Down in our neck of the woods. But thanks to some of the best listeners in town, even some listeners on the Alabama side. How about them apples? But yeah, man, here at Twin Peaks, if you are coming up, if even we're off the air at 6, if you're going to make a pit stop before you swing into Knoxville, great location, huge build out, a lot of fun. The Georgia game, as Carl said, we'll break that down. Falcons, man, we spoke and went behind enemy lines with the athletic reporter for the Vikings, and it seems like they're about as banged up as we are. And I guess if you look at the injury report as of 5 o'clock on a Friday, good news and bad news, right? Good news, Mooney and London are full participants in practice today.
Yeah, look, I need both of those guys on the field Sunday. We didn't know Wednesday when we were up there whether or not that would be the case. A few days later, it looks good. It sounds good. Let's go.
Bad news is you're going to potentially maybe at questionable there. Listed as questionable. You may not have Billy Bowman, although he did practice. He was a full participant, according to Mark Raimondi from ESPN.
Yeah.
So that's what Coach did say. He thinks he's going to go. But James Pierce Jr. with a groin injury was limited today up at Flowery Branch.
Maybe they didn't want to push it, Mike. Hopefully,
groin.
It's not as maybe it's not as severe, and maybe they just didn't want to push it because the game again Sunday night. I'm hoping James can play.
Pitch count, perhaps. Anyway, third down situation.
Correct. He was in a rotation. It's not like he was on the field every down anyway. But regardless, man, you're talking about pushing off. We said this with Jalen when he was hurt during camp. It's not as if you can't play, but when you're talking about pushing off those legs and trying to get the jump on those offensive linemen, sometimes it becomes an issue. So it's something we're watching, certainly for Sunday night. As far as the urgency going into this game, got to be a little bit more urgent. It's week two. No, it's on the road, but last week you felt like one got away from you. And everybody is talking about the plays that they left on the field. And what I mean by that, guys, as Jesse Bates was talking about these interceptions, I want you to hear what he said today in regards to, like, being in position but not making the play.
Yeah, we just got to catch them. I think we have four or five that we could have had last week, and this week is no different. You got to be able to, catch the ball when they throw it to us, make them pay, because those things change the game.
You know, we talked about some of the mistakes, or not mistakes, just missed opportunities. We had three quality interceptions where the ball's in the guy's hands, right? Maybe another play you should have made. The one that comes to mind, of course, is losing, unfortunately, contained with Baker Mayfield, and you had him in your hands, and you're like, my gosh, we know what this Falcons team is capable of. We know we got guys can make plays, but dang it, you got to lock them up. But I do think Dave Archer brought up an interesting point. Hear from Bates right there. he had some sort of inside technique. He was trying to basically jam, looking for the wide receiver coming inside. They schemed it. They saw it on film. They went over the top, and it resulted in a touchdown. They took Jesse Bates' aggressiveness, used it against him. But that's what we want Jesse Bates doing, is what it is. Remember, Carl, he literally jumped up in the air like son of a biscuit on that final touchdown to Igbuka.
He was, again, it felt like in certain situations he was right there. Our defensive coordinator, I know he's been stressing this all week long. It's Dukes and Bell, guys, talking Falcons and Vikings Sunday night. We'll give you our final predictions coming up a little bit later on this hour and what we think. But Jeff Ulbrich was talking about this all week long.
Watching last week's game, you know, after the week of prep that we had, it was validation, I think, in our process and what we're trying to get accomplished. Just like you said, a lot of missed opportunities, you know. Turnovers, sacks, and there was other stuff out there that we need to clean up, and that's going to come. Not that we'll ever accept that, but you know, first year in a system, you know, there's going to be a little bit of bump in the roads, and there's going to be growth opportunities, which we had last week, and so we'll just keep working. But I felt like great belief from this group in what we're doing, how we're doing it.
But this goes back to the question that D-Led asked you, and I've been asking all summer long: if you have these guys out there for a couple of quarters in preseason, are they making those plays in week one? Talking about Caden Ellis, is the rust shook off that he makes that interception? Is the rust shook off he keeps Baker Mayfield on the ground? They don't go down the field and score that touchdown. Same thing goes for the young guys. You know, Xavier Watts, he makes that pick, or Billy Bowman. I mean, we'll never know. Coach is never going to cop to it because his style is his style. He does not play his guys, his starters, in the preseason. Do you feel there's any validation, arguments of fans saying, you know, if you had these guys out there maybe, I don't know, two quarters of preseason, these plays get made in week one?
Yeah, look. It's so hard, Mike. You know I wanted to see our starters for a certain period of time. I always said I can't put my finger on the amount of time that is. It's whatever's necessary. Right. If you run the first unit out there and they don't do jack, run them back out there. If they run the first unit out there and they go 80 yards and score, get them out of there. If the defense goes out, gets a three and out, gets a turnover, get them out of there.
Right.
I don't know what the number is, but that's where I wanted to see him. But, again, that wasn't the philosophy. I don't know if it would have mattered because I still feel like some of those plays are regular plays these guys practice all the time. Ball hits you in the hands, bro. You catch balls all day long.
I know.
You got to make the play. Here's Michael Penix, by the way, asked today, actually yesterday, I believe, when he was asked about facing Flores' defense and what he is going to have to do as far as that challenge is concerned.
He's just very versatile, and even whenever it's not the exotic stuff that he brings, you know, I feel like they do a great job with their different coverages, being able to, you know, switch things up, you know, based on, you know, certain formations and stuff, or looks and motions and stuff that they do with their too high, their shell defense, and, you know, how they can change all those things up. But, I mean, last year you saw they heated us up a lot last year, and but we just got to make sure we come out ready for anything that they can do, because he is a good coach, and he will be ready to call come game day, and we got to be ready to respond.
They're going to throw some looks at him.
Yeah, he said they heated us up last year.
Yeah.
And that was Kirk Cousins, though, right? That was Cousins up there.
Right. But again, talk about mental reps. He was involved.
He was.
He was watching from the sideline. He saw what was going on. We talked a lot about, you know, the things that Michael Penix Jr. did, you know, in the college football national championship game. Well, needless to say, they came after him. And they basically – also in his defense, he had – a running back on one good leg in college. But they kind of took away the run game, even though Bijan was still a threat. He went for nearly 300 yards without the benefit of a run game. And he lost his wide receiver for his, you know, WR1 for his final drive, got Pitts involved. I know I've asked you a few times. I would love to see Zach make a conscious effort to get Pitts involved early in this game, because I think that's part – call it like an extension of the run game. It brings the linebackers and the corners up. It's another guy you have to account for.
Yeah, Pitts last week, again, 7 balls, 8 targets. He caught the ball when it was thrown to him. I thought he did a really good job of trying to, you know, get open and do what they were asking him to do. But to Mike's point, like, can we start the game that way? He was there, and then it was like the offense itself bogged down. He disappeared, and then he was there again at the end.
Right.
Real quick, let's hear from Divine Diablo. We talked to him earlier this week, our linebacker.
Yes, sir.
Here's what he said about stopping the run, because, again, whether you realize this or not, the Vikings have 2 really good running backs. We cannot ignore this. It's not just about Justin Jefferson.
It's all about Justin Jefferson.
Oh, it's not just about him. That will be if they're running the ball down our throat. Here's Divine Diablo.
stopping the run is one. Specifically, the quarterback getting them rushing yards. I feel like that's where they got a lot of their rushing yards. So keeping him in the pocket. Capitalizing on these turnovers, man. We had a lot of drop picks, and we got to take advantage of those. I feel like they're game-changing plays, and who knows, maybe we'd have won or maybe even blew them out. So, you know, you never know. We just got to take accountability of that and just keep moving forward.
See, everybody, all week long, that's all they've been talking about. So, you know, again, you don't get to replay these games, but the good news is you get to play another one Sunday night. And right. If you get a chance to make a play, this has been the conversation at Flowery. Make the play. You get a chance to get an interception, make the play. You get a chance to get a sack on McCarthy, right. Make the damn play.
Heck yeah, man. And again, whether it's – if Pierce is going to be a little bit banged up, Leonard Floyd. I know that we talked about Jalen Walker and Pierce, but Leonard Floyd's a vet. Leonard Floyd and James Pierce Jr., there were no stats, no tackles, no assists, no nothing. So those guys got to have an impact, Carl, because I mean, one thing about Leonard Floyd, that's a guy I expect him to be in there doing his thing. He's good for 9 sacks almost every year. That's his rep. So let's go. But let's get after it. Let's have a sense of urgency. And I hope Zach Robinson shows a little flexibility with that pistol and short yardage. Maybe he won't. You're on the road. And by the way, will Coach Rob be aggressive? We play it closer to the vest. Because remember last year, you and I talked about not going for it on that fourth down.
Yeah.
Kind of turned the game around. Vikes were off and running after that.
If last week was any indicator, he went forward 4 times. We got 3 of the 4.
But again, he went forward in the first half of the season. Then he changed his MO. That's why I get into the game management with Rob. You know, I'm lukewarm on it.
All right, guys, coming up, Georgia, Tennessee. We're going to tell you who's going to win this game and why when we come back on Dukes and Bell.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who wins in Knoxville? That's the question. Dogs come into this game. Well, they've looked okay. They haven't looked like we expected. Tennessee, Mike, they've been scoring points, and they have looked like we've expected.
Right.
But all of that changes tomorrow because when these two teams meet, what they've done beforehand doesn't really matter. Mike was talking about the numbers for both of these quarterbacks, and Aguilar has thrown over 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. 0 picks, by the way.
Right.
0 picks. But so is Gunner. Gunner's thrown for 417, two interceptions, or 2 touchdowns, should I say, and 0 picks. So, look, they're both managed the ball. They've taken care of the football. But, Mike, what's going to be the key to tomorrow? What is going to set one of these teams over the top to put them in position to win the game?
I'd like to see the passing game. I want to see Gunnar Stockton go down the field. You know, we talk so much about, you know, Mike Bobo. How many times over the years, whether it was the first incarnation or the most recent, was run the damn ball, Bobo. But against that secondary, if the Tennessee defense can be handled by Georgia's offensive line, Carl, every game's one in the trenches. That's not a newsflash. But I'd love to see all the hype about the transfers, all the guys down the field, the vertical passing game, which would get us back to that sandbag argument. Has Georgia just simply been, you know, playing it close to the vest, a strange game against Austin Peay where
not wanting to show anything?
The second half, you're not going to show what you're going to do. But is this where Zachariah Branch, we did see him against Marshall. Remember, Zachariah Branch catches basically a check down, takes it out of house. Noah Thomas, Colby Young, Dylan Bell, is this where these guys really show out? And then we talked yesterday. One of the things Damian brought up, Nate Frazier, hold on to the football. a turnover in this game. See, I think this – I'm not saying Georgia's going to sweat this, but this could be one of the more evenly matched games. Generally, Tennessee, historically, and to your point earlier about Josh Heupel, hangs for a half, and then Georgia's depth wins out. But is Aguiar – but Aguiar – well, that too – well, I mean, I don't think it's – I think Josh Heupel's a good coach. I just think Tennessee doesn't have the five stars that Georgia has.
No, Mike. Look, you've got to be able to adjust to what a team is doing to you. And if you're not able to do that and have success in the second half, that's why in the first half you –
but a gimmicky offense is a gimmicky offense. Can you ever really hunker down and do the things that Georgia does or wants to do? That's the question for Josh Heupel.
Yeah, but I don't – again, for me, I don't see it as a gimmicky offense. I see it as an offense – a lot of teams are running this or attempting to run it. Up-tempo, that's nothing new. I just feel like you get success in the first half with Tennessee because you come in with scripted plays and a plan, then Georgia adjusts, and then you're shut down. And that's coaching to me. That's not – you don't have the athletes.
Punch, counter punch.
Yeah, if you don't have the athletes, you're not doing what you're doing in the first half. It's I come out with this great plan, and then all of a sudden they make the adjustments, Kirby and the defensive staff, and then all of a sudden you're not doing or able to do the same things. So – that is what I want to see. Like, if Josh Heupel and company are going to have real success, because it's going to be a good game, guys. Again, if Georgia wins 36-3, Mike, I'll come in here on Monday, and I'll tell you guys, look, that was completely unexpected for me, because I'm not expecting that.
Remember we had the conversation, take it, was it 2 years ago? We talked about Oregon, or 3 years ago now. We talked about Oregon, and we talked about how their offensive line was so physical.
Oh, yeah,
and that's probably
Georgia,
the best offensive line in the kickoff classic at Mercedes-Benz for Chick-fil-A. And then Georgia destroyed Dan Lanning and Oregon like they weren't even there.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to give you, as we say, the 360, everything to look at. All I'm arguing is Georgia, whether it was simply indifference or the weather delay, you got a line that should be pushing Austin Peay around like they're not even there.
And they did.
But they didn't.
And we're talking about offense being in the red zone with an opportunity to score.
And you're monkeying around. And now you're on the road in Knoxville. Look, these are two monster games for Gunnar Stockton. You know, first at Mercedes-Benz, then at the Superdome. But those are still neutral sites. This is really his true test on the road. Starting quarterback at Neyland, Rocky Top, the whole shebang. Fans going to get after it. The thing I'm saying is Aguiar is a better quarterback right now than Gunnar Stockton.
He is.
By any metric.
He is.
But it's a chance for him to show it out. And then you get into, you know, the defense. Is Tennessee maybe less – I say finesse earlier, but maybe they've closed the gap and there's less of a gap as far as in the trenches for the first time between the balls and the dogs.
We're going to see, man. If you're asking me right now, because I've been going back and forth all week, like, man, I really like the dogs. And then I look at Tennessee and then I look at how they're operating right now and I go, okay, can I take anything from the Syracuse game? Can I take anything away from this?
Now, Syracuse had a lot of transfers out.
Yeah.
But they went to a big atmosphere and they pretty much whooped them.
It's what Georgia should have done last week. But I'll say this. If you ask me right now, and it's Friday afternoon, Georgia wins this game because I believe more in Kirby than I do in Josh Heupel.
Right.
That's what I would tell you, that I think Georgia and Kirby is going to get more out of
his – Josh Heupel, in your mind, is a second-tier SEC coach.
Right now. He's beating everybody else except the top dog.
So he's right there with Lane Kiffin.
He, absolutely.
Now, Lane did beat Georgia last year, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. I don't think – when I think about the top-tier guys, and it starts with Kirby and then it falls off. But even Sark's in that company, Mike. You lost twice last year to the big dog. You got to, at some point, go on the block and beat the big dog. And the big dog is Kirby. If you ask me right now, even if it's a close game, I would tell you I believe the dogs will win this game because of that factor. Tennessee's not blowing out Georgia, guys. They're not going to do that. They haven't done it in all these other years either. So, and remember, they needed a Hail Mary, Mike. We talked about it, in 16 to win in Athens.
Right, with Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, so that is what I think. I think that Tennessee's better this year. I do think Aguilar is playing better, and he's got way more experience than Gunnar Stockton. But if I'm going to tell you why they're going to win, it's because of what I've seen with Kirby and how he handles this game and how he's able to make those adjustments, and Josh Heupel hasn't been able
to. But, again, we talked about, you know, the Georgia for the national championship seasons back-to-back, making the playoffs last year. This is a team that couldn't do anything against Notre Dame, you know. Let's be honest. They really controlled the line of scrimmage. This is a team that struggled, had to go to 8 overtimes against Georgia Tech, lost to Ole Miss. We already know, you know, we can blame it on Carson Beck for what happened, you know, against Alabama. I just wonder is Georgia going to always be living in the margins now, or is Georgia going to be as dominant as they were in those back-to-back championship years? This is going to be a game that's going to show us that.
No, I agree with that. Let's switch gears and talk about Georgia Tech, guys, because as big as this game is in the SEC for both Georgia and Tennessee, this is an enormous game for Georgia Tech, taking on Clemson tomorrow at noon on the flats. The number is what now, Mike? You told me 2.5?
Yeah, man, it's going down. We were talking about this earlier. If you're a – now, again, I think you like the under in this game. We talked about it. Day-Day brought it up earlier. Day-Day, real quick, jump on. What's the under on this game?
The under on that one is 40. Oh, here it is. Sorry, guys.
50, right?
Yes, 51 and a half.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's hard to get a handle on Clemson, other than maybe some Clemson fans, friends of mine, are saying maybe Klubnik just isn't all that good. Dabo called him out. He had a horrible performance against LSU. Carl, they were losing that game against Troy for much of the game. Are they going to slow start? It's perfectly set up for Tech. A
it
noon
is.
Game.
It is.
As much as we want to see it under the lights in that atmosphere at Bobby Dodd, maybe if Brent Key and they bring the physicality. And I know that we talked about the transfers they brought in trying to pump things up on the defensive side. Can Haynes King get the passing game on track? He couldn't do it. Now, what Philo did last week is one thing, but can Haynes King be balanced with both run and pass in this game?
Well, look, and I know the kid, I'm talking about Haynes King, is willing to do whatever it takes to win. But, Mike, he can't. I don't want to see him run 26 times or 18 or 19 times. I mean, they're going to have specific run plays for him, which gets us back to what you're asking about pushing the ball and throwing the ball down the field. Here's the one thing I will tell you about this Clemson team that we know. These are facts. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, we're live in Chattanooga, Twin Peaks, right here off of East Ridge, first exit. Been here all day hanging out, getting ready for a big college football weekend. Clemson's averaging about 75 yards rushing. That's 128th in FBS, not 25th.
Right.
128th. Right. They can't run the ball effectively right now. So if you blitz like I'm asking them to and put pressure on Klubnik, Mike, and make him make plays, and you limit the run game as Troy did, okay?
Right.
And, of course, LSU. Two different kinds of teams, but I'm looking at this and going, they don't run the ball really well. And then you talk about stopping the run. Clemson's run defense is 40th in the country. You don't think Brent Key's looking at that and going, well, wait a minute. What do we do best? I think you got to control clock, run the ball, and limit them offensively and make Klubnik try to beat you. And if you asked me that a week, 6 weeks ago, right, I would have been like, nah, I think Klubnik's really good. He has not looked good. So I think you put the pressure on him, Mike, to make those throws. I really like Tech in this game tomorrow, and you know how this goes. When Mike and I pick Tech, it always goes the opposite way, and then you guys kill us. Oh, I should have never picked Tech. But Mike's right. This sets up perfectly.
Right, and if you're going to take that big leap, if you're Tech, I mean, we've been talking about that maturation process and now going up. This is your last year with Haynes King. What Aaron Philo, he will be. He was a three-star out of college. He looked pretty good the other week. But this is your last chance as far as Haynes King, and you've really maximized the transfer portal. Go get it. Brent preached the trenches, getting tougher. Same thing Kirby said to us when he took over Georgia. So the physicality. I don't believe in Clemson. No, Carl says I'm too close to it. Yeah, I bet Clemson to win the national championship.
Oh, I know. Yeah, well, again, 3-4 weeks ago.
They looked like crap last year, and they finished strong, but still lost to South Carolina, right? I mean, Dabo's team is not as impressive as it once was. It just isn't.
No.
So if ever there's a time, the point is they're ripe for the picking. Go get it, Tech. I just wish it was a night game and everyone's fired up. Noon game, go get it. Let's come back to work Monday. Talk about a triple header. Georgia, Tech, Falcons. Georgia Tech being in the top 25, and we're talking about being in the mix for the playoffs.
If they win this game, you got to start talking about putting them in there.
Right.
I mean, now you're talking about, you know, beating Colorado was not a ranked team, but you're handling your schedule, and again, now you're beating arguably the best team in the ACC. It may be Miami. We'll see. But, man, I think you got to start talking about it.
Real quick, Wisconsin backup quarterback in against Alabama at Bryant Denny. Also, you and I were talking about Texas. You give Texas A&M a shot against Notre Dame. We haven't seen Notre Dame for, like, weeks since they played Miami.
Yeah, look, I think they might correct all those issues they had. It was a really good game, by the way. But you said it, a miracle catch for the Miami Hurricanes.
I mean, Carson Beck was not on schedule, and USF is playing Miami this week.
Yeah, that's a big one, man.
The Sharps, Vegas thinks Miami handles this. I don't know, man. Maybe the Cinderella story keeps on rolling.
We're going to talk more about what the Falcons need to do as we give you our final thoughts heading into the weekend. Man, I cannot wait for
And by the way,
weekend.
Look at our crew over here from Dalton. Guys, give it up. Make some noise. Look at these beer tub dudes over here.
My man. Good to see you guys.
That's what I'm talking about.
They were hanging out with us in Charlotte for the takeover, they were telling us back
these are the
a
guys.
Years ago.
We took over a restaurant, Rise with Hooters, and we took over Charlotte. People would come in the door, Carl, and walk right out.
Yeah, because there's nothing but Falcon fans. We was in there partying. We was having a good time, weren't we? Yeah, man. Look, these guys are like, brother, hell yeah.
We were on the bus. Get on the bus.
All right, man. We're coming back. Falcons, what do they need to do? We'll tell you. Coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gonna happen with the Falcons this weekend?
Rise up.
It's Dukes and Bell. Man, we're chopping it up with our listeners, having a good time. Guys in here having a nice cold brew and enjoying Twin Peaks up here in Chattanooga. And it's been a great day, man. We've had a great afternoon up here, and a big shout out to James at Twin Peaks and certainly all the folks at our station making this happen, and the great staff here too, man. We had a really good staff today.
Right, man. Thanks to Mike, who just rolled up from Cartersville, man. One of our loyal listeners. We had a blast because we were just talking to our guys at the table over here when we took over Charlotte, which was kind of fun.
Oh,
they literally showed up on a bus, and downtown Charlotte didn't know whether to or go blind. It was really like one of those weekends. And ironically, that was the Mariota, a hand grenade toss
in the rain,
where Carl and I are standing in the stands at Bank of America Stadium, and people are even the Carolina fans are turning around. What just happened? What was that?
Yeah, it was such a fun time. We lost the game, by the way.
Yes, we did.
But yep. At the end of the day, you know, it's the camaraderie with the fans, man. And these guys, they go to a lot of road games.
I think we need to do a show in Dalton. I mean, I don't know, man.
Dalton loves Dukes and Bell.
I mean, we got to talk to our crew. But it's such a great audience. We really appreciate them making the trip just to the Tennessee side of the line here at Twin Peaks. And for folks that are coming up, whether it's later tonight, if you're stuck in traffic trying to get out of the city, it's worth a pit stop. Exit 1, it's East Ridge, Tennessee. It's easy to get to. You basically go straight, Carl, as you mentioned, and some great spots over here, and then you're on your way to Knoxville.
All right, if you're just joining us, let's give them a quick update, Mike, on the injury update and what's going on with the Falcons before we start talking about what this team needs to do Sunday night against the Vikings.
All right, the good news is Darnell Mooney is good to go. Coach said he was going to be good to go. Archer, remember how we, you and I kind of looked at each other, we're like, what? Archer said that he thought both Darnell Mooney and Drake London were going to play. He said he'd be surprised if they didn't play. And so guess what? They're going to play. And that's great news. The bad news is apparently Billy Bowman got a little nicked up, whether that was during the game or practice.
That's concerning, man.
Really heard of it, but he was questionable. And James Pierce Jr., as Carl says, a groin injury for a guy that we'd love to see really kind of have that impact we're looking for. Meanwhile, we spoke, if you went behind enemy lines earlier in the 4 o'clock hour, the guy that covers Minnesota for the Athletic says they're dealing with their injuries alone, especially on the defensive side, Carl.
Yeah, and here's what's crazy, Mike. Like, they're missing now, we know for sure, their left tackle. Van Ginkel is out, right? But both of their linebackers that are out.
To me, that sounds like a recipe for Bijan to make some hay and or Tyler.
Well, Mike, here's the deal. It's rare that starting linebackers can cover Bijan, let alone a couple of backups.
You know, brother, I'll say it for the fifth time this week. I want to see some imagination from Zach Robinson. I understand the pistol is – that's the thing. We're not going to deviate from that. Short yardage, I want to see a little bit of flexibility. But – the fact that most folks at Georgia, at Mercedes-Benz, I should say, last week said, how come we can't replicate that play at the Bijan that went for a touchdown to start the game? I know you can't do the exact same thing, but can we get our playmakers in space to use their athleticism to go break some, make some tackles?
It's going to be a chess match, guys. Speaking of Zach, between him and Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, if you ask me how this game plays out, J.J. McCarthy, you know, again, is he start the game like he finished the game in Chicago? That I do not know. But I hope that we make him uncomfortable. I hope we get sacks and, more importantly, Mike, get hits. Last night, guys, Green Bay had 13 hits on Jaden Daniels. He looked uncomfortable the entire game. They had 4 sacks against Jaden Daniels. There is a reason why they won that football game last night.
Right.
And, yeah, Jordan Love, he played well. But Jordan Love wasn't
like that. He missed some throws. He missed a couple of touchdowns.
And you talk about getting Jaden off the field, and he didn't make those plays with his legs. That's what we have to do. We got to limit J.J. in those situations, and I just feel like we got to make him uncomfortable. But offensively, look, I'm with you on this. I feel really good. The best news today has been no designation on Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? Or Drake London. With those guys on the field, this offense is going to look completely different. Trust me. If, in fact, Mike, they are both 100%, and we do not know that. But you said it. Even if Drake's not, you still have to account
right.
for him.
I mean, you're still going to worry about 75% of a guy that's a hell of a playmaker. And to paraphrase Olivia Newton-John, let's get vertical, vertical. Let's make it happen, man. And then, you know, J.J. McCarthy, you just touched on it. The idea that he got some confidence out of that Monday Night Football game in Chicago, his native Chicago, and perhaps otherwise he might have felt, you know, I don't know, maybe I can do this, I can't do this. Plus, McCarthy has confidence in him. One thing I took from Jesse Bates, we played the soundbite earlier.
Yeah.
He said he's a better runner than Baker Mayfield. That gives me pause. So, you know, we talk about setting the edge or contain edge for the running backs, but it's the same difference if the quarterback becomes a running back.
It is.
Let's keep him in the pocket.
It is. How many points we score in this game? Is this going to be another 20-24 game?
I think you got to score 4 touchdowns to win this game. I think you got to be
28?
North of, I think you got to be north of 28 to
okay.
win this game.
Okay. Look, because I feel like, first of all, there are points to be had out there. It's not like this is, the 85 Bears or, for that matter, 2000 Ravens. They're good. But there are opportunities, and we just got to take advantage of them. I think, Mike, when you talk about this game, and I don't know how many people are giving us a shot. We are the underdogs going in on Sunday night. It is their opening contest.
Oh, they're going to be electric, Sunday Night Football.
But I like our team, man, and I do. And I know you may say, well, last week. We can go up there and make this happen. And I feel like their injuries are more key right now than our injuries.
The big one
left
for us.
Left tackle
I'm with
two
you.
Linebackers.
But here's the thing. Can we run with Elijah Wilkinson? Are we going to dial up this?
We're going to have to.
Are we coming back on Monday talking about a 100-yard game for Bijan?
We're going to
Or 145 to 150 between Tyler and Bijan?
You're talking about rushing?
Rushing yards, yeah.
Yeah. I just keep looking at this and going, I like us. And you may call me crazy. Minnesota played a really good game. At least the defense did. The offense for them did not play a good game until the fourth quarter when the quarterback started making plays. It's going to be fascinating to see what Ra and certainly Jeff Ulbrich dial up to try to get McCarthy off of his spot and certainly make him uncomfortable. But I like us, Mike. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be a blowout, but I think we go up there and surprise a lot of people. I think everybody saw last week and went, oh, Falcons, okay.
Right.
I'm not sure about them. I think Rodney Harrison is right. This defense is faster, it's more athletic, and you have more playmaking. And that is the part that I think people are going to start to talk about and see as the season goes on. He's right about that. And last week it looked a little disjointed because, again, we let some plays go with Baker Mayfield. But that stuff is behind us. I think we can get this one.
The Falcons and the Vikings, both young quarterbacks, although Michael Penix Jr., with 4 games, he's a two-minute – how many quarterbacks it takes him an entire season to master the two-minute drill? We've got a guy who's shown you Sunday night last year against the Commanders, what you saw. Two-minute drill, he can do the job. My big goal for this week, I would love to see us not complain about Michael Pitts, and I didn't complain about him last week. I thought he was underutilized. I want to see Pitts be involved, man. And the same thing goes for Bijan, because as you said, even if Drake's not 100%, I think there's plays to be made in the passing game with Bijan. How you get that big explosive play and never come back to it, as we said earlier, boggles the mind.
By the way, fantasy players, Shanahan has officially ruled out Brock Purdy. I think we knew that earlier in the week, but it's official coming from him.
Right.
Mac Jones will make his first start for the 49ers. There are.
Are they going to call us about Kirk Cousins if Mac Jones poops the bed?
Well, it depends on how long Purdy may be out. And look, if Mac Jones goes out there and balls out, maybe Shanahan trusts him a lot more than we think, and maybe he just is going to roll with this until Purdy is available. We know Purdy's going to be the starter. They paid him. They've invested that money. But, again, the best news of the day is that Drake and Darnell are not on the injury designation list for Sunday night's game. They are good to go. And for Falcon fans, I think you're going to see a different kind of offense. It gives Michael Penix more options. What do you think? Give me a score, bro.
All right.
What do you think? We win this game, right? I have us winning this game.
31-27.
3 points. I'm with you. I don't think.
By the way, you and I touched on it. What are you hearing from your birdie? Is it going to be? We're not going to carry
Parker
two kickers
Romo,
on the roster, so it's going to be Koo to win this game. Koo kicking 35-yard extra points. I mean, is that it? Parker Romo or Koo? It's Koo, right?
I'm not letting Koo on the jet. Okay.
I wouldn't either.
And not because I don't like Koo. I'm not letting because I don't trust him right now. I'm going Parker Romo. He's kicking field goals for me on Sunday night, and then we'll evaluate Mike next week and see where we're at. Like, that's how I feel about this situation. But we're going to see that nothing has come down. Nobody said anything at this point. That's just what
I
feel.
What I need from D-Led or even Squid Billy on the plane, I looked around. I didn't see Koo. You know what I mean?
He ain't saying that.
I mean, I need to find out. And again, Day-Day, am I missing something? Oren, no news about the kicking game?
No, nothing outside of our guy changing his profile picture to
which says a whole lot, by
him
the way.
Him kicking
I'm
the
just
ball.
Telling
in a
well, that's what D-Led. D-Led goes, good Petrie said his Parker Romo will be the answer to kicking woes.
I'm just telling you. That's where I'm at.
I'll hang up and listen.
Sunday, when that is a story, just let's just go with it.
I don't want to lose a game over the kicking game.
Well, here's the thing. If this is what's funny, and I know we're up against it. By the way, Turtles coming up. We got Friday Night Football. What am I talking about? We got high school football with Coach and Sam. Stay right here.
Shout out to, by the way, real quick, Cartersville, Captain Mike and the fire department. We got some great dudes, and they're all up here hanging out with us.
Oh, cool.
That are big listeners, man. So thanks for making the trip, man.
Appreciate
what a scene.
Oh, retired. Thank you, guys, man. Appreciate that.
I didn't expect you to grab a hose anytime soon.
No doubt. Yeah. But I was gonna say we were talking about – I just lost my train of thought, Mike, seriously.
About the kicking game.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, if you take Koo, this is my train of thought. This is where I'm at. Atlanta, if you take Koo and he misses a field goal, you're going to explode. If you take Parker and he misses the field goal,
right,
you at least say they did something different, even though it's still going to feel like crap. And I just feel like those are two different feelings right now after week one. We'll see. But I think Parker's going to be the guy. All right, man. We got to get out of the way and clear our throats. By the way, thanks to everybody up here. Thanks for everybody that came through Chattanooga today. It's been a lot of fun, as always. Of course, we'll be back. Can't tell you when because we do this once every, you know, few months or so.
Right.
But we have a great time up here. So thanks to everybody that came through. All right, Big O, let's get out of the way, man, and clear our throat. All right, guys, all of our interviews online. You want to get a behind-the-scenes look at the Vikings, go listen to us. Have a great conversation with the guy that covers the team on a daily basis, Mike. And he said, I still have a great relationship with Kirk Cousins. He says he thinks Kirk could play somewhere else if he gets that opportunity. We're talking about Alec Lewis, who joined us earlier in the show. Really good stuff from him.
And a lot of guys, whether they're dog fans or ball fans, really enjoyed our conversation with Carl Pickens.
Yeah.
All-pro and All-American wide receiver from Tennessee and then later the Bengals. Really good insight. And hopefully we'll get Carl on the show again.
Hopefully, man. Hey, Gordon, on-site engineer, as always, brother. Thank you so much. Back at the studio.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.